It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark.
Chilling tales for dark nights.
Hello again, listener, and welcome back to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. I'm your host, Steve Taylor. Tonight's story explores a simple question, one that hides beneath bright lights, cheerful music, and the comforting illusion of safety. What keeps the machine running? Sometimes it's money, sometimes tradition. And sometimes, it's something far more personal. Fear has a way of becoming fuel, and when fear is rewarded, encouraged, or ritualized, when it's framed as entertainment or a rite of passage, it stops being something we escape from and starts becoming something we're asked to give. Before we descend into tonight's tale, though, there are a few important updates to share. As always, thank you for listening and for supporting Chilling Tales for Dark Nights across all platforms. First, a quick update on Evil Idol 2025. The competition continues to intensify, with new rounds approaching fast. To stay up to date on contestant announcements, voting windows, and exclusive previews, be sure to subscribe to our official Chilling Tales for Dark Nights YouTube channel. And don't forget to turn on notifications so you never miss a thing. You can find Chilling Tales for Dark Nights wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoy what you hear, we'd truly appreciate a 5-star rating and review. It helps more horror fans discover the show. And it means more than you know. For those looking to go even deeper into the darkness, consider joining our Chilling Tales for Dark Nights membership. By visiting chillingtalesfordarknights.com, you'll gain access to ad-free episodes, early releases, exclusive bonus content, and our complete back catalog, all for just $7.99 a month, with discounted annual plans available. And of course, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok for episode announcements, artwork, behind-the-scenes updates, and more. Now then, let us turn our attention to tonight's story. Our featured tale this evening comes from author Jason Fisher, courtesy of our friends at Velox Books, a publisher known for championing bold, unsettling, and boundary-pushing horror. Tonight's story invites us into a place designed to frighten, but not to fail. A place that doesn't rely on electricity, mechanics, or even logic to function, because what truly powers it is far more reliable. Fear, compliance, and the willingness to look away. Performed and produced by Drew Blood. This is a story about responsibility, parenthood, and the moment you realize that stopping the machine may cost more than letting it run. So settle in, dim the lights, and listen closely. From author Jason Fisher, we present Dark Bride.
The demon's dark glaring eyes, surrounded by flames on the Wrath's marquee, were now in sight. Navigating his daughter through the crowd, Charlie could see the carnival manager with his bad comb-over standing on the roller coaster's landing platform. It was difficult to see whether the ride was running or whether the screams were coming from somewhere else in the fairground. His daughter was tugging so hard at his flannel shirt that Charlie was concerned that the buttons were going to pop loose. Half of her painted-on tiger whiskers were wiped away around her mouth from where she had been stuffing cotton candy. Shirley, after asking a few dozen times, had made him begrudgingly give in and pay $20 to the carnival rip-off artist who airbrushed on her favorite animal. The paint was a constant reminder of how little he wanted to be there. Carnivals to him were a waste of time and money. The cheap thrills of the rides was hardly worth the wait or expense.
Daddy, play that bottle game. I want the big bear.
Shirley pointed with sticky fingers to a cheap stuffed bear that was taller than her. Thinking of her trying to carry it, he smirked. Bending, he adjusted her ponytail, pulling in the strands of hair that were always trying to escape. Hey, pumpkin butt, maybe later. He had already sunk nearly $40 into similar games with nothing to show for it. Remembering the two unused ride admission tickets they'd left, he asked, How about you ride the boats instead?
No more rides, Daddy. They're too scary.
Behind her, he heard the rumbling of a car on a track, closely followed by the squeals of zealous riders. Looking up into the cloudy night, he watched the coaster glide along and disappear back into the rectangular building beneath it. The foreboding structure was just weather-worn plywood painted black, yet it held menace. Despite the cool night air, Charlie's forehead was covered in sweat. He could have let go of the fact that the ride was running. His responsibility had been met when he inspected it yesterday, yet he pulled his daughter toward the makeshift building. The ride was operating when it shouldn't have been, and Charlie's instinct was to take his frustration out on the odd-looking man who ran the traveling amusement park, but thought better of it when he remembered his large build covered with a collection of peculiar tattoos. Charlie took a deep breath, filling his lungs with the early October air mixed with the smell of popcorn and stale beer. Dodging gawky teenagers and families who were oblivious to the sound pollution they were creating, he weaved along the uneven ground on his way to the ride. Each squeal of the rambunctious carnival goers made him tense up. Cheap rides were something he had never understood. Passing the tent with a fading mural of a woman's face on a spider's body, he froze. The barker was chewing something wrapped in a dirty cloth that looked like an oversized fly. Her exposed hands were hairy, and she must have been wearing contact lenses, as her tiny eyes were glowing red. Looking at Charlie, she grinned, her lips creating a small, tight circle that seemed restricted by some unseen force. Swallowing hard, he, for the 10th time in the last few minutes, wondered who in their right mind would come here to be purposefully frightened. The question was instantly followed by an evaluation of his own life. Why was he the only person qualified to inspect the rides? Considering his fear of the dark, heights, and rides in general, it didn't seem fair. Leaving such deep thoughts for more appropriate and quieter surroundings, he walked away, hoping the woman's face wasn't now indelibly imprinted into his mind to visit him when he was alone. Dodging balloons, he made his way up the creaking back steps of the ride. As much as he wanted to, it wasn't in him to shirk his responsibility. Shirley was pulling back, feeling like an anchor.
Honey, come on.
I'm not going to ride it, Daddy.
Of course not. That's for big kids.
Who are insane.
I just need to speak to the man running it for a minute.
Are you a-tricking me?
She dug in, her tiny feet planted into the mashed grass.
Of course not. Come on, honey.
She squeezed his fingers so hard that Charlie considered ignoring the carnival's infraction and leaving. When the ride reappeared, rolling along the track through two black doors, Shirley clutched his leg with her free hand. There was chanting from deep inside the rectangular building, barely audible over the laughing of the riders. After removing decades-old lap belts, the group left the ride, their faces full of life. Reacting to so many happy people, Shirley loosened her grip.
All right, Daddy, I trust you.
Her words resonated deeply. Since the divorce, besides meeting his financial responsibilities, He was most concerned that she would never trust him again. Charlie was sure his ex constantly told his daughter all his faults. Although she was only 4, he sensed disappointment in her. He pulled Shirley along the landing. The thin plywood below bowed as he walked. Bouncing along, the carnival's manager, when seeing Charlie, quickly approached with his hand out.
Good to see you again, sir.
He reeked of a funeral parlor, flowery, and of an indescribable disinfectant. Charlie reluctantly took the man's hand and was instantly rewarded with crushed fingers. The anger he was trying to ignore rose, making his face flush.
Although I didn't give you a permit, the ride is running now, Mr. Hill?
The man's eyes flashed just enough that Charlie knew whatever came next would be a lie.
Well, yes.
His mouth opened and quickly shut, as if he were biting off the next group of words. His sparse teeth poked through his chapped lips as he smiled.
As we discussed earlier, it's working.
Yes, and as I stated, it needs to run while I inspect it to open it, hence why I did not give it a certificate. You know running it like this will cost you a hefty fine, right?
Sir, we travel coast to coast all year. Every other inspector has cleared it after they looked it over. No one else has such strict rules.
The line of people waiting to get on the ride seemed to call out in unison. The loudest voice yelled,
Hey, what's the holdup?
Swaying back and forth like zombies, they leaned against the temporary ropes, staring with wanton, frightened eyes.
Others' incompetence is neither my responsibility nor concern.
Charlie looked at the aging cars on the dark track a foot below the loading platform. Everything around him was curved, and nothing like the other rides in the park. The equipment was dated in color and design, like it came from the 50s. Every bit of its styling reminded him of a serpent. It was more than a slight curve. The cars looked as if they would slither along. Following the length of the track that disappeared into double doors, he saw a very short man in the narrow opening. He quickly scurried away when spotted. Charlie squinted, thinking he saw a chain around his ankle. Even knowing it had to be some trick of light, he still had the urge to run.
You need to cease operation immediately.
A vision of the shadow man grabbing Charlie and pulling him into the darkness appeared from deep in his brain.
They outnumber you, and nobody knows you're here. The ex thinks you're back at your place.
Shaking away the thought, sweat beaded stronger on his forehead despite the growing cold breeze. Hill slicked back the last small patch of hair on his pointy head.
Yes, of course.
He walked to a stand that looked like a podium and clicked on a few obscured buttons. His action apparently lit up something, making his face appear to glow momentarily, accentuating his deep wrinkles. In the darkness of the enclosed structure, the chanting grew louder. Looking for speakers, Charlie took a step back, inspecting the face of the building and the track that jutted out in a loop above the housed area. It was skillfully painted, making it appear like a moving flame. As he inspected every curve, the noise of what sounded like 100 people inside was whispering in unison. Stay away, stay far away, before it gets you. After a few seconds of quiet, there was a loud cackling, setting Charlie's nerves further on edge. The voices rose and fell in a repeated chorus. Charlie pulled his daughter closer, asking Hill,
Is that coming from inside the ride?
Yes.
Hill's eyes darted to the cars and then, as if viewing something repulsive, he went back to the operator's podium with a pained look.
Charmin!
The vision of the doors opening and swallowing him came back.
Better get out of here, buddy. And fast.
The demon is a rite of passage for our younger guests. It's their chance to prove their bravery. The soundtrack enhances that experience.
Charlie thought of his daughter, hoping she would never feel pressured to expose herself to such childish antics. A good portion of his youth had been spent avoiding such nonsense as terrorizing yourself in the name of bravery. The manager pulled a lever, and the ride moaned as the cars edged forward a few inches. Charlie felt the vibration beneath him as the drivetrain creaked. Multiple voices from the crowd cheered, pushing forward. The retaining ropes were stretched to their limit. Their momentum seemed to mix with the air, energizing it. Hill smiled at them.
Hey, would you care to ride it? You've already inspected the interior. Won't that prove it's operational?
Daddy, you're tricking me.
Shirley's fingers were like vice grips digging into his leg.
No, I wouldn't like to ride it.
Remember the first and last time you rode a roller coaster?
Fighting to remain in control over the man he had no respect for, Charlie quickly added,
I meant no. That isn't necessary.
He pushed his daughter behind him, saying,
It's all right. I promise you don't ever have to ride it.
Please understand, Inspector. I need the ride running tonight. Can't you just take a quick ride?
The man massaged the back of his neck. The tattoos on his forearm danced along his sagging skin with the movement.
For your time, I'll give you an unlimited pass on all our rides and games.
Shirley poked her head out from behind Charlie.
Then we could win Mr. Cutie Bear.
Her voice seemed to frighten her. Quickly, she returned to her hiding spot, burying her face against his pants. Hill bent forward.
Yes, little one. I can arrange for you to have a choice of any prize.
Seeing the man's eyes on his daughter made Charlie's stomach turn.
Keep your tickets. I'm not working this evening, and even if I did inspect it, it wouldn't save you the fine.
Please, I'll pay the fine. I just need to ride running tonight.
Please, Daddy, I need my bear.
Thinking of all the times he had let her down this past year after the divorce, he stood up straight and sighed deeply.
I would need to go inside and inspect the motor.
The words made his stomach ache worse, but he knew he had to face the fear or feel like a coward to the last person in the world who thought he was still capable of being brave.
Yeah, but you already did.
Yes, but it was idle then. It's necessary to look it over while the ride is moving.
I don't see the point, sir.
The false smile disappeared, giving way to the gruff face Charlie had seen earlier in the day. In a brief flash, his expression told the many hardships of the carnival worker's life.
Okay, then. Let me put it to you this way. If you run this ride again tonight without me inspecting it, and without getting a certificate from the town of New Bremen, we will contact the next 10 towns you're going to and be sure they don't allow you adequate permits to open.
You don't understand.
Hill rubbed his mouth with the back of his hand, exposing filthy palms. With his tongue working over a gap where his front tooth should be, he finally said,
Okay, if you must. I'll let you inside. Just give me a minute.
The carnival manager walked up to a gawky teenager who resembled a miniature version of him, whispering into the boy's ear. The younger man put up a robe, holding back the rest of the lines. There was a collective groan, and someone threw a box of popcorn that scattered all over the platform. The snack looked like snowflakes across the dirty ground. Hill spoke into a walkie-talkie and then walked back to Charlie.
Can you please make this quick? As you can see, we have many people waiting.
I won't be rushed.
Charlie peered through the shadows of the double doors. The voices resumed again. This time they sounded like different people entirely. Bending down, he said,
Pumpkin, you're going to help me do some work. Then we'll go and win your bear, okay?
We gotta go into there?
She drew her head back, the slight effort dislodging her hair from the rubber band.
Yes, just for a few minutes.
She shook her head wildly, her bangs covering her eyes. Her mouth opened, but no words came out.
If you want to leave, we can.
Charlie willed her to say yes. It would let him out of his ultimatum so he could avoid going into the dark space. She looked down, making circles in the dust with her worn shoes, which she was quickly growing out of.
It's okay, Daddy. I can be brave.
She swiped a hair out of her face.
I know I can do it for Mr. Cutie Bear.
He was up against it now.
All right, then.
Hill eagerly hit a button on the podium. The doors creaked open, letting the smell of oil and dust mix with the night air. He stepped down, walking sideways on a narrow platform running parallel to the ride.
Watch your step.
There was no longer any pretense of kindness in his voice. His eyes were daggers, staring through his unwelcome guest as he looked back. Charlie followed along, pulling Shirley carefully and avoiding the rails. He knew it wasn't powered with an open current, but felt that if he touched it, the cool metal would harm them irreparably. The surrounding curved walls that drew closer as he went forward were a string of blinking multicolored bulbs, disorienting him. Shielding his eyes with his free hand, he called out,
"Can you turn those off?"
Hill pulled out a walkie-talkie.
"Owen, cut the show lights."
There was a metallic clang and complete darkness enveloped them. Time seemed to stop in the belly of the ride. The carny pulled out a flashlight, its beam catching the curved walls. Pointing with his head, he said,
"The door's just around the corner."
Fighting to keep the bubbling anxiety out of his voice, he grated,
"Yeah, I remember."
The chanting came back on, vibrating and pulsating. Charlie cringed, the cryptic words enveloping him. The deep bass seemed to work through his skin to his bones.
"You all right, Pumpkin?"
"Uh-huh."
"We can go back if you're scared."
"Nope, I'm okay, Daddy."
She gave a gap-toothed smile, displaying the newest void that had gone to the Tooth Fairy. Hill pulled an overflowing keychain from his belt. Fumbling with the handle, he opened the door to the machine's motor room. A single bulb on a wooden ceiling illuminated pulleys, chains, and belts wrapped around a great motor that seemed to go on endlessly into the tight area. Lifting his daughter over the track, Charlie stepped past him, wondering how they transported something so intricate and bulky. A phantom echo clanged in the distance.
"See, boss, nothing's changed."
He put Shirley down, forcing a smile, not wanting her to see who her father really was. Turning, he tucked his shirt in.
"Regardless, we have rules for a reason, Hill."
Charlie's eyes traced the engine, not knowing what half the valves did. Everything was so old that it looked like it predated the First World War.
"Please have your people start the ride and we can finish this up."
The walkie-talkie came out again.
"Start her up, Owen."
"Stay away. Stay far away before he gets you."
The bass from the speakers made Charlie's feelings hurt.
"Please turn that off."
"Can't. It's on the same circuit as the cars. To run the ride, the soundtrack goes, Inspector."
There was vibrating, followed by the creaking of chains. Shirley clutched Charlie's arm. He put his hand on top of her head.
"Almost done, little one."
The words were swallowed up in the chanting. A large wheel spun just in front of Charlie, creaking and pulling what looked like a giant rubber band that appeared like it would snap at any time. Taking a small step back, Shirley moved as far away as possible. He felt the whoosh of the car passing the room from the right.
"Get out of here before it's too late."
The blinking lights came back on, cascading shadows across the walls, making him dizzy. Charlie put his hand against the machine to regain his balance. Hot metal seared his skin. He pulled back and bit his pinky finger to cool it. The voices came from every direction, causing Charlie to jump and pull his arms in as if he were protecting himself from a blow. The carny smiled.
"Seen enough, Inspector?"
Needing to feel in control, he responded sharply.
"Not quite. Still need to check the coolant."
The words seemed to come from someone else.
"Why are you still here? Get out!"
On wobbly legs, disentangling himself from Shirley, he stepped to the left of the engine, letting go of his daughter's hand. Seeing a large tube housing multiple wires, he stopped. Knowing what he was seeing couldn't be made him quiver.
Heel!
Charlie's eyes moved around the tight space. The raging engine picked up steam, shooting noises in multiple directions.
Where's the power source?
The thick electrical cord coming from the belly of the motor was a jumble of loose wires lying on the dirt floor, not connected to anything. The sound of a chain being dragged very near was behind him. He turned quickly, and pain exploded across the back of his head. Thinking his eyes would pop out of their sockets, Charlie raised his hands to hold them in as everything went black. Opening his eyes took effort, revealing blurriness surrounded by a dull light. There was a loud humming noise and a faint scream in the distance. Charlie didn't know where he was or where he had been, but he sensed something tragic would happen if he didn't sit up. The few inches he crept forward made the back of his head ache so badly that he could taste burning acid on his tongue. Realizing it was vomit, he turned, covering his mouth and holding it in. The slight movement brought a pounding in his skull.
Take it easy.
The voice sounded like that of an actor imitating a serpent. Wiping his eyes with the back of his hand, Charlie squinted and could make out red glowing eyes a few feet from him.
Please, sir, relax.
He remembered a cartoon once where a snake charmer coaxed a viper out of a wicker box when reality struck.
Where's Shirley?
Her memory came as an odor. He smelled on his sleeve the cheap laundry detergent that his ex insisted he use, and the terror ejected the bile he had just swallowed.
There now, sir. It'll all be fine.
Coughing felt like fire on the back of his throat.
Where's my daughter?
His scream brought a sharp, throbbing pain across the right side of his face.
You've had an accident.
Where is she?
Closing his eyes, he forced himself into a sitting position. His head felt like it was four times its regular size. Gripping the ground, his neck strained, making his torso shake.
She's fine. She's with Mr. Hill.
Imagining the man's tattooed arms wrapped around Shirley, he yelped,
Bring her to me now!
In due time.
He tried to stand, and blackness floated at the edges of his vision. Letting out a deep breath, he was back on the ground.
Please, help me get to her.
There's no reason to be upset, sir. We've sent for medical help.
Charlie closed his left eye and could just make out the spider lady. She was working her hands over, caressing them frantically. His eyes traced her ridiculously tight costume. Her feet were exposed and hairy, appearing not to have any toes. The area around her ankle was matted, as if a clamp had recently been removed. Hoping it was a costume, he realized her odd voice was possibly just an ordinary lisp and not a result of her being part insect, like his imagination was trying to get him to believe. The thought did little to quiet his nerves.
When?
They'll be here soon.
You're never getting out of here.
Noise was coming from above, and he quickly recognized the muffled sound as the chanting of the ride.
What struck my head?
He slowly raised his hand. The back of his head was moist and felt like jello.
I couldn't say. I wasn't there, sir.
Can you call Mr. Hill? I need my daughter now.
The room seemed to be growing smaller, trying to swallow him up.
He's on the ride with her.
What? Why?
Charlie opened both eyes, instantly regretting it. It brought a pain like a thin hot wire inserted through his eye socket to the back of his skull.
To feed the ride.
What does that mean?
It felt like his blood was turning solid, coursing through his veins, about to burst through his skin.
This ride lives on fear, sir. When the young ones are willing to ride and go through the dark passage, it feeds off that fear. It's what keeps it alive.
She looked up at the ceiling, trying to smile, but not quite making it.
Don't worry. It won't harm your girl. In fact, it will make her real strong. Once the fear is out, the ride devours it as they rush through the dark tunnel.
What is she saying?
From somewhere above, there was the sound of a great vibrating coaster rattling the entire structure. The shrieks from the riders went through Charlie, making him weaker.
Why?
This ride has traveled the country since well before most of us were born. All we know is to feed it, or it will take far more than just fear, sir.
Look, I don't care about your foolish story. I work for the county. Do you understand? I demand you bring me my daughter.
The woman's expression didn't change. She stared at him with the disinterest of a church patron. Charlie desperately added,
If you do, I'll leave and approve the ride to keep running. No questions asked. I promise.
Stay away. Stay far away before I get you.
The chanting grew louder. Charlie's eyes searched shadows, expecting to see a group of wild demons advancing upon him.
Please, please help me up. I need to get out of here now.
The spider woman stood up from a small stool, slowly advancing.
It'll all be over soon.
The door behind her opened, letting in erratic lights from the tunnel. Raising his hand to shield his eyes, Charlie watched Hill's shadow fill the doorway.
He's awake. Very good.
Shirley was behind him as he stepped in, clutching his hand. Charlie, despite the pain, grunted and stood. The dirt below him felt as if it were shifting.
Sir, please sit down. A doctor will be here very soon.
His head pulsated. When he closed his left eye, he could almost see clearly with the right.
Shirley, come here.
She looked up at Hill, smiling.
Okay, Daddy.
She walked toward Charlie, looking happier than he had ever seen her. Her remaining whiskers on her cheeks danced as she smiled. The warmth from her hand gave Charlie strength. Clutching her, he took a tentative step forward. He was woozy but felt almost strong enough to move on.
Sir, please, you aren't well.
Out of my way.
The man didn't budge. Not up to any physical confrontation, he said.
I give you my word, if you let us pass, I won't tell anyone that you struck me as you did.
What? I didn't hit you. You passed out. You said something about power, then passed out and hit your head on the motor.
Fine. Tell yourself that. Just let us leave.
I can prove it. Please come into the engine room. You can see where you struck the motor.
His wild eyes grew larger as he pointed to the dark doorway.
There's still blood on it.
Good. Take me the... Do you really want proof that this machine is running on fear?
Charlie couldn't move.
It's better to leave and never look back.
Each breath stung deep in his lungs. He looked down at Shirley. She was grinning ear to ear. Every muscle tensed as he tried to take a small step forward.
I'm leaving now. Just get out of my way.
The man held both of his hands up in a resigned motion.
Whatever you say, Inspector. Don't say I didn't warn you.
As he passed Hill, he whispered to Charlie,
If you tell anyone what happened here, you will regret it.
Charlie dragged Shirley into the dark hallway, nearly suffocating on the musty smell. The enclosed area looked as if it hadn't seen daylight in decades. His head was pounding, making everything move at twice the speed it should. Clutching the loose railing, he concentrated on each step. Up the stairway, he saw the side exit he had entered earlier that day.
Daddy, are you okay? You look kind of funny.
I'll be fine. How about you, dear? Did the ride gobble up your fear? Feel better now?
Charlie gripped the makeshift railing, willing the dark thoughts away.
We've just got to get out of here, Pumpkin.
The chanting vibrated through him. Moving faster than he should, he pushed the door open and was instantly assaulted by the night air. The kinetic movement of the carnival added to Charlie's disorientation. He couldn't believe there were still smiling people in the world. Finally, at a safe distance away, back in the main thoroughfare and surrounded by screaming throngs of people, Charlie looked back. The shrieks of the riders hurt his insides. He knew it would be best to turn back and confront the fear rather than carry it with him forever. But he knew he couldn't. Bending down, he asked a question he didn't want an answer to.
What did you do with that man? Did he take you on the ride?
I'm not supposed to talk about that.
She looked to the ground, staring at her tiny feet.
Honey, are you okay? Did he do?
He bit off the last words, knowing he couldn't cope with the answer. Not now. Not here.
I'm happy, Daddy.
She wiped his tears. Her tiny hand ran against his beard stubble. He patted her head, moving back strands of hair. The contact melted his heart.
You're sure? No one hurt you?
Oh, no. We had fun once the scary part was over.
He looked past her back to the demon. He could see the fear on the faces of the riders going through the loop. The coaster moved so fast that it distorted them, making it appear like a vapor was coming off the riders.
That's the fear the demon's gonna eat. Why don't you go back and be free of it once and for all?
Charlie turned away, pulling Shirley along. Tugging, she insisted,
Daddy, I want my bear.
I'm sorry, not tonight, Pumpkin. Nor any other night, coward.
The faint screams behind him were constant reminders of how much things had changed this long night. Each noise taunting him. He glanced back once more at the enormous loop.
What if it takes more than just fear?
Charlie, knowing his next step would define him, pulled Shirley closer. Defeated, he made his way out of the carnival, going back to his ordinary life.
That was Dark Ride, written by Jason Fisher, performed and produced by Drew Blood, and featured courtesy of our friends at Velox Books. This story lingers in that uncomfortable space between choice and coercion, where fear is framed as a test, where danger is disguised as tradition, and where the systems we inherit continue operating not because they are safe, but because stopping them would require courage of a different kind. Sometimes the most frightening thing isn't the ride itself. It's realizing how easily we're persuaded to keep it running. Before we close tonight's episode, I'd like to take a moment to spotlight both the publisher who helped bring this story to life and the author behind it. Tonight's story comes to us courtesy of Velox Books, and we're proud to partner with them. At Velox Books, they're passionate about bringing the most chilling, weird, and captivating horror tales to readers who crave the extraordinary. With more than a decade of independent publishing experience, they've built a reputation as a small press with an enormous appetite for horror, specializing in collections of horror, weird fiction, and imaginative tales that push well beyond the expected. Their roster includes Amazon bestsellers and top-voted authors from Reddit's horror community, No Sleep, and their catalog is filled with stories that linger long after the final page is turned. To explore their titles and learn more, visit VeloxBooks.com. If tonight's story struck a nerve, you'll want to seek out Jason Fisher's work. Jason is a horror and crime author who specializes in anthologies, crafting stories that take familiar spaces and quietly twist them into something dangerous. When he's not writing, you might find him biking the trails around his home, spending time with his nephews, expanding his VHS collection, or sitting out on the deck, feeding the deer and enjoying the calm of nature. That contrast between the peaceful and the unsettling runs straight through his work. His latest collection, Your Place Is Here Now, 10 Tales of Horror and the Supernatural, is available now on Amazon.com in paperback, hardcover, Kindle, and audiobook editions. In this collection, Fisher transforms everyday settings into traps you can't simply walk away from. A dinner with a new mother who was never invited. A Halloween visitor offering a treat you can't refuse. A puzzle book that predicts your future and demands payment. A cardboard cutout boy that refuses to stay put. And yes, a dark carnival ride with no power that runs perfectly on what you fear most. Across tales of folk horror, psychological dread, and the elevated supernatural unease, one message becomes clear. Your place is here now. And once you take your seat, there's no guarantee you'll leave unchanged. The collection has earned high praise, with Kirkus Reviews noting Fisher's knack for vivid, horrifying transformations that will appeal to fans of Twilight Zone-influenced horror, while Bookster praised the book's lingering unease, an impact that lasts long after the final page. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, we'd love for you to help spread the word. Be sure to follow Chilling Tales for Dark Nights and leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen. It truly helps keep the show alive. You can find even more terrifying tales at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights and over at CreepyPastaStories.com, where countless horrors await. For the latest episodes on Evil Idol 2025, exclusive content, and upcoming releases, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and consider joining our membership at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com. Members enjoy ad-free episodes, early access, bonus stories, and our complete archive, all starting at $7.99 a month with discounted annual plans available. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok. Our evening together draws to a close. You've been listening to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. Until next time, I'm your host, Steve Taylor, reminding you to turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Sweet dreams, listeners. Sweet dreams.